Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I should say Earl Thomas, among those not practicing yesterday for the Ravens.
Uh-oh. So,
he'll be ready to go because he's going to, I don't know if you saw his quote yesterday, he's going to stop
all the big plays.
All the big plays.
Not just some of them. He's going to eliminate all the
plan
big plays.
Is to eliminate all the big plays.
Is he going to eliminate bad football,
that
too?
That is correct. Yeah. That is indeed correct.
But we want to play good football and eliminate bad football.
$25 to Twin Peaks. It's the 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening. We give stuff away. It's 7, 8, and 9 o'clock just to say thanks. All you have to do is listen and then dial, and Ryan makes it very, very easy for the most part to do that.
I do, unless, of course, you're Charles Leavenworth, who you screwed out of the prize.
He won a prize the very next day, and for what it's worth, it's pick the blank. You have to name them. You don't just get to say the first one. I don't care. I stand by my decision. Okay. Stand by my decision to screw Charles, and I stand by my decision to hang up on that guy the other day when he didn't want to sing Happy Birthday to Patrick Mahomes.
Correct.
You need to go back and check the tape on that one, Clint. Next time you hear this drop.
Oh, that is so funny.
Thanks. Next time you hear that drop, be caller number
7.
Caller number
7.
Sven. Seven.
Yeah, seven. Seven.
913-576-7610. Caller number 7. Next time you hear that drop, I will hook you up with I don't have it in front of me. What is it? Something fabulous.
$25
right?
To Twin Peaks.
Ooh.
It's a lady.
Big fan of the billionaire bacon burger at Twin Peaks. 29-degree beverages as well.
If you want to see us tomorrow, we will be out at Rally House at Town Center Plaza. Ryan is cooking up hot dogs.
I will.
You will also have an opportunity to eat breakfast from Protein House. We'll be giving away a Rally House gift card every hour. And if you come out between 6 and 10 and register, you will have an opportunity to win a Patrick Mahomes jersey.
Oh, my God.
Don't have to be present to win. You just have to be present to register. So we will be there all morning long at Town Center, 119th Street. Come out and say hello. It's their brand new store that's opening. And they've got all kinds of awesome, awesome Chief stuff for opening weekend out at Arrowhead. So come join us tomorrow morning from 6 until 10 and register to win that Patrick Mahomes jersey.
So Pat Mahomes is going to grill some chicken feet.
That's right.
When the schedule came out, I looked at the Chiefs schedule and looked at a lot of quarterbacks. You saw, like Andrew Luck and Deshaun Watson and Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers a couple of times. And, oh, by the way, Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't necessarily think week 3, oh, the Chiefs also have to face Lamar Jackson.
Right.
No offense to Lamar Jackson.
Right. I don't think there was a lot of buy-in from a lot of people with Lamar Jackson yet.
I thought he's a great college quarterback. I'm of the camp. I'm willing to try a bunch of different ways to get the quarterback situation resolved. Mm-hmm. Like, Kansas City's got their guy, so it's cool. Exactly. But I'm willing to give the Lamar Jacksons, the Kyler Murrays, those of the world that
Gordon
don't
Minshew.
Fit those quote unquote quarterback stereotypes all the time that you have to drop back pass and you have to have the big arm. You can accomplish things in different ways. We've seen it in college all the time. I think you see more and more offenses evolve than I wish more teams would give players like that a shot. It's hard to find a quarterback. So
are you saying Todd Reesing could have played in the NFL if he was a little bit later? Like he was 10 years too early.
Doggone it. So I'm not of the camp that's always, well, those guys, it was just a college thing, you can't play. Well, I think you could adjust your offenses to accentuate some skills much better than teams have done in the past.
Yeah.
And I think Baltimore's done a really good job of that with Lamar Jackson.
I heard something yesterday. I think I was listening to one of the Baltimore stations, and they were like saying, the novel of the idea of actually constructing your offense around your players. So, how different that is, because for so long in the NFL, you got these coordinators and you've got these guys that are going to do their system regardless of who they have. And that's just dumb. I mean, you know, to be an effective coach, you play to your players' strengths. And if we, if you've got a guy that's a quarterback and he's really good at running and throwing the football, well, you can combine both. It's okay to adjust who you are as a coach instead of making a player adjust to you. And I think for so long in the NFL, we've been trying to do a square peg round hole. And I think ultimately it's cost a lot of quarterbacks their careers because coaches didn't use them the right way in the NFL because, well, they were scared to use them in the right way. And it wasn't normal to use it like that. Well, the new norm is Patrick Mahomes and big plays and fun plays and exciting plays, not drop back seven steps and throw the football across the middle to the tight end.
But still, when the schedule came out, I didn't say, oh my gosh, they're facing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Well, here we are, week three. This is the number one offense in the NFL, right? The Ravens. Again, we went over some of their numbers yesterday. They're off to a fantastic start, albeit small sample size through two games, but you have a team that's number one in the NFL in rushing.
Right.
And has Lamar Jackson, who's got Mahomes-like numbers through 2 weeks.
Yeah, he's actually the better quarterback right now when you look at numbers than Mahomes. He's putting up a better completion percentage, more yards, the same amount of touchdowns. And people are like, whoa, who's the better quarterback? Like, people want to debate that nonsense. But you know, Lamar Jackson's 8-1 as a starter. We forget that. And I don't think a lot of people were buying in. Then we saw what he did against Miami, and then he played fairly well against Arizona. But it is against Arizona, Miami. This is a litmus test for where Lamar Jackson is. But I think he's got a lot of people believing in him because of what he did last year here at Arrowhead. He almost won that game for his team. And, you know, you're looking at a quarterback right now that I think if gets a win on Sunday is now being talked about as one of the legit quarterbacks in the NFL. I think he needs the win as much as the Ravens need that win.
Kay Adams, NFL Network. If he goes into Arrowhead and takes out Mahomes, then the Lamar Jackson MVP campaign begins. Quite possibly. And also elevates the Ravens to the, oh, who's going to hang in the alleged Patriots Chiefs zone.
Right, right. And this is a big who are the Baltimore Ravens? If they come out, play well, beat the Chiefs, they're in the conversation. If they come out and it's 35-0, then there's nobody else in the conversation when it comes to that third team.
Lamar Jackson, is Mahomes the GOAT?
He on his way. You know, those guys have Super Bowls. He's a dynamic quarterback, you know, his third year. He's been doing a tremendous job, former MVP. Just can't wait to compete against him again.
So he's the current MVP.
The current MVP. Well, former. Well, it's one of you.
He's the current MVP.
He's the reigning.
Reigning. There you go. The incumbent.
The reigning MVP. So this one's being billed. Mahomes versus Jackson. Who'd have thought when the schedule came out this was going to be that head-to-head?
It's Ravens versus Chiefs. You know, I don't really look at it like I'm competing against him. I'm competing against his defense, if anything. I depend on my defense, you know, to do a great job of stopping him. And my job is to score points. So that's what I'm going to do.
Score more points.
Mm-hmm.
Which they didn't last year, I guess.
No.
Look at it from his perspective. Yeah. I'm sure he's saying last year's game, yeah, had the Chiefs on the hook. You need to score more points. That was a low-scoring game, considering for a Chiefs team last year was 27-24
right.
in overtime. And a hangover from that one maybe for the Ravens?
They're still with me right now. No, it don't go away until I get that opportunity again and perform very well.
So this is a revenge game for the Ravens and a revenge game for Lamar Jackson as well. So that one sticks with him. And you brought up only loss.
It's only regular loss season. As a starter.
As a starter was to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
6-2-0 on the text line. Lamar Jackson going to whiz down his leg the moment he hears the crowd, plus our new defense will feed off the crowd. It will be a blowout.
He played fine last year.
I mean, he did have his lowest completion percentage of the season last year at Kansas City. It was 54.17% complete. He threw two touchdowns and no picks.
Right.
Lamar Jackson hasn't thrown a pick in 8 games.
Wow.
Since his second start, he hasn't thrown an interception.
That's
interesting. A regular season game.
He did throw a pick in the postseason.
Yeah, but
wow, that's a hell of a number right there.
Lamar Jackson yesterday, I didn't make this cut. I probably should have. He was asked about how he's not throwing interceptions. He tries to not throw interceptions.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I try not to.
I try to not throw interceptions.
I mean, I thought you were going to go with I let God take care of that.
Yeah. That would have been awesome. Lamar's great.
You know what would have been good? If he gives that advice to the other quarterbacks in the NFL who are throwing interceptions right now.
Here's what I do, guys.
Here's what you should do.
I try to not do that.
Yeah. Don't try to throw those interceptions. Oh. And if you try not to throw them, you're going to be okay. You're going to be good. You're going to be just fine.
Oh, that is so funny.
But the whole country is getting this game. That website, the 506, that puts out the coverage maps each week of, you know, who's getting what game. You look at it, and it is a red United States of America for the CBS early game. The only places that aren't getting Chiefs-Ravens on Sunday on TV are like New York and New England, because they're playing against each other. Like Cincinnati's got some game against some nobody. And then there's another nobody game in the early window for CBS. But like almost all of the United States of America is going to be tuned in to see this one. It is the most anticipated regular season game we've seen this year.
True. I didn't think there'd be this much hype on this game.
I thought it would be a good game, and I didn't think it would be to this level. Yeah. Like, because
I mean, but Lamar Jackson is.
But Lamar's made a difference,
yes,
man.
Lamar Jackson's start to the season has made this the hype filled game.
If the Ravens were 1-1 and he was a pedestrian quarterback, this would not be a hype game. But the way that he started the season, the way that Mahomes has started the season, the way that these two teams played last year, like this has got playoff implications all over it. I mean, the loser of this game is knocked out of the top two spots in the AFC. You're the 3 seed, and you're fighting an uphill battle the rest of the season.
Jeffrey in Raytown, your winner, $25 to Twin Peaks, just for listing. It was our 8 o'clock hour prize. We'll get stuff away coming up at 9 o'clock as well. Get your wagering weekend started right. Nick Kostos joins us for his weekly visit next.
Fesco in the morning.
I feel like it snuck up on us this year. We got caught up in Mahomes mania a little bit.
What snuck up on us this year?
Talk like a pirate day.
Oh, that's right. We'll have a Jalen Ramsey update coming up at 8:35.
So, of course, if you would like to talk like a pirate, the floor is always yours.
Yeah, the phone is
913-576-7610.
Yep.
If you indeed want to talk
If you want to talk like a pirate, we will take your calls, just like we did with Patrick Mahomes' birthday greetings the other day. Yeah. So grab a phone.
All right, I'm not screening them. We're just going to answer them right on the air.
Live on the air.
That worked out. We had about an 85% to 90% success rate the last time we did that. I thought it went well.
I thought it did. It went very well.
I have a dump button, and I'm lazy. I don't want to screen them.
Usually a big holiday for us. I feel like we missed it.
We kind of peaked out a few years ago with Lilja coming back from that K-State game.
Yeah, that's true. He was hurt.
He was pirate talking all day.
Talking like a pirate.
It was great.
That did get a little scary. Joining us now for his weekly visit, Nick Kostos, Radio.com sports betting insider, host of You Better You Bet. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can hear Nick on You Better You Bet every night, the Radio.com app and website. Nick, getting back on the horse. We pulled you back into the Chiefs last week. While he didn't hit the over, they did certainly cover things against the Raiders.
Oh, that was great. And it's great to be on with you guys and the great people of Kansas City, the great fans of the Kansas City Chiefs. We, and I do include myself among the ranks at this point, got the job done this past Sunday. Patrick Mahomes doing his best Doug Williams impersonation in Super Bowl 23. Broncos up 10-0 in that game. 5 touchdowns in the second quarter. Game over, Super Bowl over, bet over. Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns in that second quarter. Really could have been 5 or 6. A couple called back due to penalty. Just an insane performance by the reigning MVP, perhaps the soon-to-be MVP. I love being on the Kansas City Chiefs bandwagon last week. And guys, I think I may have to hop on it again this Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, why wouldn't you hop on it now, man? These guys put up points like it's going out of style. I think the Ravens right now are a little question mark because of who they beat in the first 2 weeks of the season. I love the Chiefs in this game. I think it'll be close, but I think the Chiefs come out on top.
See, I kind of like Kansas City to cover the spread, and in all seriousness, like I picked against the Chiefs in week one, so not just doing it because I'm on here with you guys, but I am going to pick the Chiefs here in this game. Because I think if we look back, and I know you make a good point, right, that who have they beaten the first 2 weeks, like the Dolphins and the Cardinals, two of the worst teams in the NFL, right? They were really impressive in beating the Dolphins, but Miami does look like it belongs like more in the ACC Coastal than in the AFC East.
No doubt.
But what
or
Baltimore
XFL.
Did this last weekend, yeah, they're just the worst team I've ever seen. I think they're going to go 0-16 as an aside. But last weekend, guys, the Cardinals should have beaten the Ravens in Baltimore. Like, Cliff Kingsbury kicked 3 field goals inside the 5-yard line. Mike Leach has got to be watching that in Pullman thinking, what the hell is my former quarterback doing here, not being aggressive and going for touchdowns? They lost the game by 6. They kicked 3 field goals inside the 5-yard line. Kyler Murray threw for 350 yards in his second NFL game on the road at this supposed great Ravens defense. So when I handicap this game, I think this. If Kyler Murray on the road in game 2 of his career was able to put up 350 on this Ravens secondary, which is not healthy right now, what's Patrick Mahomes going to do in the home opener at Arrowhead? I'm looking to lay it with the Kansas City Chiefs, guys. I feel pretty good about it. I feel the number is short. And I did like the under when it was up around 55.5 points, but it's back down to 52 now. So I think there's no value anymore on the total. So I'm going to look to lay it, guys, with the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday against the Ravens.
So, Nick, you mentioned the home opener in there. Does that factor in when you're betting games, having a big-time event like that and players getting up for having that home opener type of experience?
Absolutely. And again, like, I'm not just saying this because I'm on with you guys. Like, Arrowhead is one of the best home field advantages in the league. It's been that way since I started watching football in 1990 and the Chiefs lost to the Dolphins on a Pete Stojanovic field goal in the playoffs that year. But, you know, Arrowhead's an unbelievable place. The fans in Kansas City are obviously awesome. It's the sea of red. They're really loud. It's one of the best home field advantages in the league. And then I think you pair that with the fact that it's the home opener, and I think that is a major, major advantage for the Chiefs. And I know the Ravens played really well in this game last year. Different deal, though. Different players on defense. And Mahomes looks even better than he did last year. I find it hard to believe that the Ravens are going to be able to keep within striking distance in this game. I don't think it's going to be like a laugh or blowout type game, but I do like the Chiefs to cover that spread.
I saw you on Twitter. You were having a little problem with that over-under line. So why would you stay away from that one?
Well, I really liked it when it was up to 55.5 because my initial handicap of the game was I think the Ravens are not going to try and match them score for score because I have to think that John Harbaugh knows, right, that, like, even if they try and do that and even if they do put points on the board, ultimately, like, you can't do that against this Chiefs team that can just, when Mahomes can have a touchdown pass called back due to holding and then 3rd and 22, the next play, throw another touchdown pass.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can play score for score with this team. So I'm kind of thinking, like, okay, maybe we'll see what the Ravens did last year, right? Ground and pound. Like, they should have won that game last year against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. You know, they had the great Mahomes pass to Tyreek Hill, and then they win the game in overtime. But, I think it's a different Ravens defense. I don't know that the Ravens are going to be able to stop them. Like, again, Kyler Murray lit them up last week, and they should have lost to the Cardinals. So I think the Chiefs are going to put up those points. So I initially leaned towards the under at 55.5. Now it's down to 52. I think the Chiefs are going to score 30. I think they're going to cover the spread. It's probably going to land right around the number. So it's tough for me to have a ton of confidence in that total now either way.
All right, Nick, another type of game that's going to pique our interest here in Kansas City may have some effect on the postseason for the Chiefs. It's the Chargers taking on the Texans this week. Who do you like?
You know, I think it's a really, really, really tough game to call. Look, if I'm a Chiefs fan, like, I don't know how worried you need to be about the L.A. Chargers at this point. You know, there are a couple things that really dismayed you from the Chargers last week. You know, first off, it's like the kicking situation never ends in L.A. or San Diego, wherever the hell they play. They can play on the moon, and they still can't get a guy that can make field goals. Rivers threw a really disturbing interception at the end of that game. And, you know, that vaunted pass rush, Bosa and Ingram couldn't get anywhere near Matthew Stafford last week. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Chargers are a good team. Like, and I'm not trying to insinuate that they're not or they're not, like, be in the hunt, you know, come December, come Christmas time. But the Chiefs are the better team. So I don't know if Chiefs fans really need to worry about the Chargers this year, like winning the AFC West like they had to worry about it last year. As for this game, I think it's really tough. I think the number's right where it needs to be. It's actually one of the games that I'm not going to bet on this week because I really don't have a feel for it. I guess I would take the Chargers only because that Texans offensive line is so bad and Bosa and Ingram should have a bounce-back game. Deshaun Watson's running for his life. If he makes it through 16 games, guys, he should replace Hugh Jackman and be the new Wolverine in the X-Men movie because he's a superhero. I don't see it happening. So I would take the Chargers, but I don't feel confident about it.
All right, Thursday night football, we got a crazy one. Everybody's watching what's going to happen with Jalen Ramsey. Will he play? Won't he play? They say he's going to play. If he's close to being traded, they're fools to play him. Tennessee, Jacksonville, maybe those two cities think it's a rivalry game, but a game for a lot of people that doesn't have a lot of interest now has a ton of interest because of the Jalen Ramsey factor. Where are you going in this one?
I like how we say, like the Jaguars would be fools to play Jalen Ramsey. You know, this is an organization that extended Blake Bortles, that took Leonard Fournette over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson when those guys were still on the board. So I don't think that this organization is particularly good, this Jaguars organization, right? And I look at this game tonight, and normally I like to take the hashtag primetime home underdogs, and the Jaguars are an underdog in this game tonight in primetime. I don't think I can do it this week. I feel like this Jaguars team is pretty close to imploding, and they played well last week, and it seemed like that two-point conversion last week that they called to try and win the game last week, it kind of felt like the last hurrah for the season. And I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say that, only 2 weeks into the season, but they've got a rookie quarterback now. Like, I think the season's over for the Jaguars. You trade Jalen Ramsey, like, you're packing it in, and it's done already, which is sad with the Nick Foles injury. So I think Mike Vrabel is a significantly better coach than Doug Marrone. So I kind of lean towards the Titans. I don't like to do that, to take road teams A on Thursday night or B in primetime slots in general, but I would lay it with the Titans tonight. The play I feel better about is under. If you can get under 40 for the game, I think the first half's going to go under. I don't think we're going to see a lot of points early in this game, maybe as the second half progresses. So I would look for that angle a little more than the spread. I would take the Titans, and I lean towards the under. Tough to see a lot of points being scored in this game.
Nick Costos, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Go Chiefs. Let's get the Sea of Red going on Sunday and win some money. Wishing you and all the listeners minimal sweats, winning bets, and the very best of luck.
There you go. That's it. Wow.
That's a hallmark
card.
That is
fantastic.
One of those shoebox
groups. Radio.com Sports Betting Insider Nick Costos. Brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Again, you can go check out Nick. You better you bet every night on the Radio.com app. Give him a listen. Our big story is straight ahead, and we check in with Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports, our 610 NFL insider. We'll get the latest.
Are you going to ask him about Jalen Ramsey?
Maybe. Who? Maybe. He might take a swing at us if we do, but we'll try it next.
Fesco in the morning.
Lots to get to between now and 9, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We'll have another edition of Doting on Mahomes coming up. Fantastic pettiness from college football to discuss and more before we get to 9 o'clock. But time now for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
And oh, by the way, we'll get to Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports.
That's
just
right.
Got a few things we can discuss with him coming up in just a couple of minutes.
And it is Talk Like a Pirate Day. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk like a pirate, you got a couple of minutes before Therese weighs in.
Big story.
Ravens.
The injury report was kind of in, a lot of weeks ago, and okay, everybody's healthy. It looks fine. No big deal. The injury report had some pretty big names on it this week for the Chiefs, and they're all on offense.
Yep.
Eric Fisher is going to be listed as out, but did not practice yesterday.
He was on a plane to Philadelphia.
Rick Burkholder said he was, off to Philly for core muscle surgery today.
And a cheesesteak.
And he'll miss a few weeks. They did not get a timetable, but this looks in the 4 to 6 week range for the core muscle surgery, the groin issue that flared up, but then really flared up and kind of knocked him out of the game. Cam Irving took his place, and looks like he will be the left tackle moving forward. And then the top two running backs for the Chiefs also on the injury report yesterday. Neither LeSean McCoy with an ankle injury and Damian Williams with a knee injury practiced yesterday. And while we always think of kind of plug and play, right, with Andy offenses of running backs, your top two not able to practice yesterday. Yeah. So something to keep an eye on as we get closer to Sunday.
We'll see what D-Train's all about maybe this weekend and see if he can be a guy. But, I mean, look, Josh, of the two positions on offense that have the injuries, offensive line and running back, like, I feel good about those positions with Andy Reid. He's done a nice job of plugging and playing offensive linemen. And he's done a really nice job of plugging and playing running backs, too. I mean, Jamal goes down. Remember that Pittsburgh game? He goes down. Oh, my God, season's over. They're 1-5. Weston Ware did a pretty good job down the stretch for that football team.
Just tweak a few things here, tweak a few things there. We'll make it work.
Yeah.
That's Andy in a nutshell, isn't it?
It really is.
So, a little more full on the injury report than we've seen in other weeks for the Chiefs and three pretty big names on offense. There's your big story brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. And it's time for our weekly chat with Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports, and our 610 NFL Insider brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years. I don't know if he'll take a swing at me or you, Bob. So you want to?
I'll do it, man. We're talking obviously Jalen Ramsey. And, you know, the stuff that I've been hearing, Therese, very similar to a lot of the same stuff you've been hearing. And I think right now the last I heard on this is that the Chiefs said no to the original asking price. Maybe there's some talking back and forth. I'm saying maybe a long shot, but anything could change at this time because I think this thing has spun so many different directions over the last couple of days.
Yeah, I will tell you that everything I've reported about this from Tuesday to now is true, and it's all still applies, every bit of it, okay? So I know it's been a bit of a roller coaster, so I'm going to break it down, okay? Tuesday, like Monday night, we know that Jalen Ramsey requested to trade. Okay. You know, the initial report was, hey, you know, the Chiefs are going to monitor the quarterback market, the cornerback market. I would not expect a hard push for Ramsey. You know, mainly because it was going to require a lot of capital via draft picks, mm-hmm. and the Chiefs haven't made a first-round draft pick in 2 years, okay? And also money. Jalen Ramsey wants to get traded and get a new deal. That's part of that aspect. And right now the Chiefs have about $23 million in cap space. I know it sounds like a lot, but it's not going to sound like a lot when you consider they want to do Patrick soon, immediate. You don't mess around with the best player in football who's only 24 years old, right? And they also want to do Chris Jones. So pretty quickly, money is going to start getting tight if you give Jalen Ramsey the biggest cornerback and hit the biggest contract in history for a cornerback, right? Okay. Now, here's one thing I need people to understand. Jalen Ramsey is an incredible football player, okay? So if you can bring him in, you know, you find a way to do it if it makes sense, if you can make that work. So the next part of that is, like, of course there's interest in him. Like, there's interest in doing it if you can make it work. And I think that it's important that people understand they've had conversations with the Jaguars about this guy because he's a special player. And there's no doubt that on the field, he can help you as a football team. But there's also the part of this. He is an outspoken player. He is somebody that, to this point, there's been a lot of, like, discussion about. Like, there's always talk and chatter about Jalen Ramsey. And the Chiefs love their locker room. They love what they've got. And that's a factor in this, too. It is a risk to bring him in, trying to figure out if, like, you know, it'll completely work. That is a risk, and that's something that you have to pay attention to. So hard push part still applies, right? But that, you know, because there's some risk here in doing that. Now, with anything in the NFL, there's still a point where that risk is worth the reward, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It is unclear if things will get to that point. Because some things would have to happen to make that risk worth the reward. I want you guys to understand something. The Chiefs are doing their due diligence on this, you know, because they understand that he's a special player. They are going to continue to monitor that market and maybe even monitor this too, right? They're going to continue to monitor this too. But they want to upgrade this position, but they're not going to be reckless about it. Even if this doesn't work out, I want people to know this is something down. We still have time. Trade deadline is not to the end of October, okay? And there are some people out there that can still help this football team, even if it's not number 20 for the Jaguars. Even though I would tell you that guy's a hell of a player.
Who are you looking at elsewhere besides Jalen Ramsey that could potentially help this team at that position?
The same guy that we've kind of been talking about,
yep,
for the better part of the year, yep. Patrick Peterson.
I think that's the guy all along, Therese. Everything that I've been told and the folks that I've talked to, like, they want Patrick Peterson. Like, that's their number one goal. Like, that's the hot chick that they've been chasing. You know what I'm saying? Like, and everybody else is kind of like, you know, the 2 a.m. at the bar type of stuff. Like, they really want Patrick Peterson.
Right. Now, there does come a point, again, with Ramsey, where that risk is worth the reward, okay?
Yeah.
So I've tried to explain this to people. Well, so I'm glad that I got a chance to do this on the radio station here. Because I know, like, you know, Chiefs Kingdom, you guys are passionate, man. And you guys want this team to be a ready-made Super Bowl contender, right? And they already are. But you want to see the Deion and 94 aspect brought to this football team. You are one killer corner away from not really having any excuses whatsoever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm with it. I get it. But I want you guys to know that even if the things that need to come to pass for Ramsey to be a Chief don't come to pass, this is not the end of the world, okay?
Right.
You mentioned Patrick Peterson is a player that can give you a lot of that, right? He's older than Jalen Ramsey, but he's still a hell of a player, okay? He probably costs less than Jalen Ramsey. He is also somebody whose contract is already slotted, and because the Cardinals have already paid his signing bonus, the cost to bring him in and fit him under the salary cap will probably be less than the impact of having to bring in Jalen Ramsey and give him an immediate new deal
right.
with the signing bonus and everything that comes with it. So right. I'm just saying this is an option. The obstacle with him is that the Cardinals, to this point, have not expressed interest in trading him. Okay? They had, that's why earlier this year when I reported, you know, the zero talk, it's because they don't, there's nothing that they're like, they haven't caved on this. Now, if they're like winless at the trade deadline, maybe Peterson's like, hey, you know, what are we doing? Like, come on. You know, maybe he pulls that. Who knows? But, you know, there's still some other corners out here. They're going to continue to look to upgrade it. The Chiefs have done a nice job rebuilding the defense on the fly. They went from a 3-4 to a 4-3 in one offseason. And one other thing I like about Peterson, by the way, is that him and Tyrann Mathieu are close.
Sure.
I like that. I really like that. So, you know, let's just see what happens. It's a long season. The Chiefs are in great shape. You know, even if this doesn't work out, you know, I think that there's a reasonable expectation that, you know, they're gonna do more to help this football team because they know what they have right now. And they know with one extra push, you know, maybe that'll be the Super Bowl push. Andy Reid needs to get his Super Bowl. You know, you take advantage of your window while it's there.
Hey, let me tell you this. I think the one thing that's hurting the Chiefs right now is the fact that they're too good. Like they're competing with teams that can offer better first-round draft picks than them, and that's part of the reason why they didn't get Minka Fitzpatrick because, hey, Pittsburgh's 0-2 with a bum quarterback right now. The Chiefs are 2-0 with an MVP. You tell me who the Pittsburgh Steelers or who the Dolphins were going to trade that to. So does being too good at this point in the season affect where teams may want to deal guys because of the draft pick you get back in return?
Yes, absolutely. That is the reason that Minka Fitzpatrick is not a Chief. They were very aggressive in getting that guy. He's 22 years old. He would have club control after this year for 3 more years. And he's a guy who's also very good at zone coverage, which the Chiefs use a lot of. He's a special player as a matchup guy. And now you're talking about 3 safeties who can, like, really kind of cover and switch up a little bit between him, Mathieu, and Fitzpatrick. That's, you know, that's Mathieu, and Thornhill, okay? That means something, you know? Maybe if you even just put him at corner. But, yeah, you're right. When Pittsburgh says to you, hey, look, I know our quarterback's out for the rest of the season. I know we're 0-2. We'll give you our first-round pick. Do you know, like, what else the Chiefs would have to offer to, like, make that worth the Dolphins to pass on a potential top 12 pick? The Steelers are one quarterback injury away right now from having the season from hell. You know what that means? 4-12, 5-11, top 6 pick. You know, something like that. And the Dolphins are atrocious, which means they're going to get the number 1 pick. They're going to draft Tua. And if they got another top 6 pick, they might even be able to draft his bookend replacement, his bookend tackle. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Chiefs' success is hurting them right now, but it ain't like a long-term killer.
Right, but right now, if you're in a bidding war and somebody can offer you a top 10, top 15 pick versus 30, 31, 32, that team's going to take that top pick every day. It's not that the Chiefs – like, I think there's this misconception, Therese, that, like, we don't get this done. It's like the Chiefs didn't try to get this done. They're trying their ass off to get stuff done.
Yeah, no, I think so. And, you know, I think that they're really focusing on trying to, like, you know, make – and stuff happen. You know, again, you know, this isn't over, man. This isn't over until Jalen gets traded. And I want to make sure I'm clear there. You know, we're kind of in a holding pattern, okay? That's the major takeaway from this situation. We're in a holding pattern. Let's see what happens. Some things have to happen to make this risk worth the reward. If they don't, it's not the end of the world. If it does, congratulations. You're the best football team in the AFC.
Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports joining us. If Jacksonville is intent upon trading Jalen Ramsey somewhere, not even to necessarily Kansas City, what is the incentive to play him tonight or again?
I honestly don't know why they would play him tonight if they know they're going to trade him. You know, maybe you say you're going to play him to try and get, like, you know, to try to, you know, facilitate something yesterday and put pressure on teams that want to trade for him and play him immediately, right? But if you know you don't want Jalen Ramsey anymore, playing him this week, before you have the parameters of the deal in place, would not make much sense to me. So to me, I just kind of think you say, hey, look, we're going to play this guy unless you come to the table with something real that we want. It's a way to leverage to get teams to capitulate, right? Because, you know, it's like, hey, you know, you don't meet our price before this game. You know, we're going to play him. And, you know, maybe the team that wants to trade, I mean, you get it when it's Christmas morning, you don't want to wait to noon to open your toy. You want to play with it when you wake up. So it's a way of leverage to kind of get teams to capitulate to what you want. But yeah, I don't, if they know they don't want the dude and he actually plays today and gets traded tomorrow, I won't understand that.
Talking with Therese Paylor here on 610 Sports Radio, our NFL insider. And obviously, away from this, there's still a pretty big game here in Kansas City this weekend. Are you buying in? And I'm asking everyone this that we talk to. Are you buying into Lamar Jackson yet?
Yeah. No. Look, guys, Lamar Jackson was my all-juice quarterback 2 years ago, okay? I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's special. And you know why? I've written about this a few times at Yahoo. The game has become such a passing frenzy, such an open offense game. This is not 1999 anymore. With a quarterback like Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, you know what you could have done 20 years ago? There's a bounty. Let's knock this guy out the game. Let's go. We're gonna hit him every play. We're going to hit him after the play. We're going to hit him during the play. First got to knock this guy out. But you can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
This is a completely different game. Which means he's not getting hit. Kyler Murray's not getting hit, guys. So it's easier to pass because defenders can't even grab and clutch in routes anymore. And the quarterback can't be bullied and intimidated. So you know what the single most important skill for a quarterback now is? Can you make a play? This is playground football. This is us on the blacktop at lunchtime playing two-hand touch. Who can make a play? Your quarterback's the guy that's got an arm and is accurate and can run around and do stuff. Well, that's Lamar Jackson. You know, who was my all-juice quarterback 3 years ago? It was Patrick Mahomes. Guess what he can do? Run around and do stuff. Who's my quarterback this year? Kyler Murray. Run around and do stuff. That's what a game of football is right now. So, yeah, I'm buying into the Lamar Jackson hype. I'm in on him. I've watched their games, the first two games. I know they played the Dolphins and the Cardinals. I got it. I know that. But offense is in Venice, and he has looked marvelous. He's looked fantastic. So he'll get a test this week. You know, the Chiefs' defense is better than it was last year, and there's also the pressure of having to score with the Chiefs' offense, which is a whole other deal entirely than facing the worst team since the 2008 Lions and a Cardinal team that has an atrocious roster outside of Kyler Murray, Chandler Jones, and Larry Fitzgerald, right? So, like, it's going to be different. It's going to be different this week. Let's see what it looks like. I'm going to be there on Sunday. I can't wait. I think, you know, this is the game of the week, in my opinion. It's going to be a hell of a game. I think that this is a chance to see who the front runner for MVP in 2019 is going to be.
Is Baltimore, Therese, the third team then in the AFC right now? And, like this is a big game for them. If they beat the Chiefs, all of a sudden, hey, they've got scoreboard for the rest of the year over Kansas City.
Yeah, no, this is definitely they're the third best team in the AFC right now. That can change. All it takes is an injury.
Right.
It's something to change in the AFC. You know, who knows? Maybe Steelers get out of this. You know, maybe the Steelers, and that was my favorite for the third team in the AFC, maybe the Steelers already know that with Mason Rudolph, here's what we know about Mason Rudolph. He's good at play action. You know, he can throw the deep ball. With Ben Roethlisberger, they have been a predominantly throwing football team over the last 18 months. You know what? He's out for the year. They have James Conner. They got Jalen Samuels. They got Benny Smith. I wouldn't be surprised if they get back to Steeler football. We're about to run the football with this young quarterback who likes to go play action and throw deep. I think that could revive this football team. I'm not ready to throw dirt on the Steelers yet, which is why, you know, I had a column earlier this week with a trade for Fitzpatrick, bold or senseless. It's senseless if you don't believe in Rudolph. If you do, it's bold because
because Fitzpatrick gives them a playmaking cover element at the safety position that they quite frankly don't have. And it can really give this team a shot in the arm. So I'm going to be watching their game very closely, you know, after, you know, I take care of my business from Arrowhead on Sunday.
There you go. Therese Paylor, Yahoo Sports, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Brought to you by Aristocrat Motors, Kansas City's home for luxury automobiles for over 50 years. Of course, Therese Paylor Show, Monday nights at 6 here on 610 Sports Radio. Got you the latest on Jalen and that other guy. I think the more this passes, I feel like, Bob, it's going to be back to where we were before, which is Arizona. Looking at Arizona, calling
Patrick
Arizona,
yeah.
Bugging Arizona. Hey, you guys ready yet? Do you want to make a move yet?
Right.
Hey, we're still interested. Do you want to talk? Do you want to go on? And then I'm interested to see now up until game time tonight if the Jags are just posturing about playing him tonight and if they decide to pull him off the field, if there's some deal in the works or just hedging your value and not allowing a guy to possibly go out and get injured.
Right.
When you're definitely trying to deal.
And look, I'm looking at the text line, Ryan, and you brought this up during the Therese interview. People are getting downright mad at Therese. I can only imagine what Twitter is saying because I know I see what they say to me. Therese and I have a lot of the same information, and we've said a lot of the same things about this. I mean, what folks don't want to understand is – like, this isn't black and white. Like, things change. This is a negotiation. This is a posturing thing for a lot of people as well.
I mean, I think out of all this,
it's a very fluid situation that has changed. How many times have I talked to you guys about some of the stuff that I've been hearing, and it changes constantly? Like, you're just not going to get an answer when you want that answer. And the stuff that Therese is saying, the stuff that I'm saying, the stuff that Ian Rappaport, whoever is saying right now, has constantly changed, and it's changed over the last 12 to 24 hours, too.
I think out of all the stories that I've, at least here at the station, have covered, this has been one of the quickest changing ones. And to me, like, over the 3 days, it was, no, we're not interested at all, and all that's just speculation, too. Well, I mean, we're going to kick the tires because we got to do our due diligence, too. Well, I mean, the asking price is just too much, and we're not interested in doing that, too. Well, I mean, maybe if he doesn't want a contract, the asking price isn't too much. And like, it has changed, genuinely has changed very drastically over 3 days. And for a lot of fans, I get it. Like, you're antsy and you pantsy, and you want to get Jalen Ramsey in a Chiefs jersey as soon as possible.
You're antsy and you're pantsy, and you want to get Jalen Ramsey?
My daughter said that to me the other last weekend. We were out somewhere, and she goes, I've got ants in my pants, and I can't stop. And like, she was dancing around, right? And I'm like, okay, this is kind of what we're doing right now. But I think this right now, what we're going through as Chiefs fans, is a glimpse behind the curtain into what's going on inside the Chiefs front office, inside the Jacksonville front office, and how things come together. I mean, a lot of the times you just want to think it's, hey, let's pick up a phone call and call the GM at another team and make a trade and get it done. It doesn't work that way because, you know, Jacksonville would be foolish just to talk to the Chiefs. They're talking to a lot of teams. They should talk to a lot of teams. It's a very coveted player right now, and you got to find out what the best is out there that you can get. And as I said to start the show today, very much the same as what Therese just told us, but what the Chiefs have done, from what I've been told by folks who know what's going on, is that the Chiefs said no to that original asking price. The asking price came down. The Chiefs have followed up on that. Once the asking price comes down, you follow up and say, okay, let's see what we can do here. I think it's going to be a long shot for him to end up here, but anything is possible. Anything can change because, as we know with this story, it's changed so many times just since Monday. It's changed so many times since August. I mean, this has been an evolving story right now. And like I said to Therese, ultimately, it's going to come down to who can give Jacksonville the best offer. And I think because the Chiefs are so good right now, they're behind the eight ball in that. And Jacksonville is going to go with a team that they think is going to ultimately give them better draft capital than the Chiefs can potentially offer.
Therese is one of the best football writers in the country, right? And I don't think I've ever had an instance where I have known Therese to jump the gun on something and say, hey, here's what I'm hearing and just be speculative about it. Like, he is always doing his due diligence, and he is always interested in being correct rather than being first.
Right.
And so I know that from Therese, and I know you, and I know what you're sourcing out, and for people to to only be happy with one piece of news. Like people say, well, you're not reporting anything. Well, no. We're telling you what we're hearing. And Chiefs fans will continue to ask and continue to ask and continue to ask. And the only thing that's going to satisfy them is I'm hearing they're trading for Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
That's the only answer you're looking for.
The answer that they want right now. We're not giving you the answer that you want right now because that's not the answer right now. I mean, like, we're literally living this process as the Chiefs are living this process, as Jacksonville, as Baltimore, as Philadelphia, as San Francisco. Some of these other teams are living this process. We're all living it together. This is how it works, and this is how negotiations and bargaining. I would love to get on the air and say, it's a done deal. They've got him, right? But that would be irresponsible for me. That would be irresponsible for Therese. That would be irresponsible for anyone because it's not a done deal right now. They may have talked parameters. They may have talked about what you want to give and what we can give. They may have talked to Ramsey's agent. They may have done all of that. But until a deal is official, nothing is done.
We're out here tracking flights.
That are going to Wyoming and not even to Jacksonville, Florida. But the other thing is,
we're trusting Leroy Insider.
Corners in Wyoming? Have I missed somebody?
Someone on the text line asking, doesn't the trade deadline end at 4 p.m. today? No, it's October 29th at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Month and 10 days out.
We got time.
But the other thing, too, with all of this, ultimately, Jacksonville's going to do what's best for Jacksonville and nobody else. They're going to take the best offer that they can get. And if it's not from the Chiefs because of how good the Chiefs are, then there's nothing we can do about it. I'd rather have the Chiefs be good and not be able to acquire somebody than have the Chiefs be an 8-8 football team and go out there and acquire everybody and miss the playoffs.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes looks like he's out after that MVP award that he won last year. And here's the thing. He does this little thing after he makes a play, and I have to show you guys this. It's one of the best little posts. There it is! The double step back shooting the jumper. And now you're saying, Nate, well, what is that? That is one of the hardest moves to guard in the NBA. If you pay attention, Steph Curry does it.
That's a James Harden move, right?
James Harden, Steph Curry, they both do that double step back, which is kind of an illegal travel. But here's the thing.
Manu.
If you're an accurate shooter and you do that super duper step back, it's unguardable.
Can't do it.
And if Pat Mahomes walks in the game and he's an accurate passer and he's playing like that step back is unguardable, so is that offense.
There's something crazy with him this year, this flair where he throws the pass and the second it leaves his hands, he's already like goosenecking a little bit. You should watch these Oakland passes. After the deep pass, he kind of like does this stuff. It's unbelievable.
He's bouncing, looking at, he like finds the camera while the ball is in the air.
He needs like a higher league. Is there anything above the NFL? Like, he's already mastered the NFL.
Yeah, he's doing his thing.
That's crazy.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Man, had some serious doting there.
Yeah, that was good.
NFL Network, Good Morning Football. They were doting away.
Right.
The step back jumper no longer can be used by Mahomes at the local Y. But he can do it on the football field.
Has LeBron tried to trademark that yet?
Mahomes celebration?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe
so. He hasn't. Okay, that's good. So.
It's another edition of Doting on Mahomes. I love pettiness. I love
Tom pettiness?
Sure, I love Tom pettiness too.
Rest in peace.
Not necessarily a rivalry, but you can make it one for 1 week, and I'm cool with that. Grocery store chain in Georgia.
Georgia.
Georgia is clearing its shelves of Irish Spring this week.
Well, I hear that soap is not good for the skin.
That's totally false, but whatever.
Look it up.
I'm not looking it up.
I'm not looking
it up. Another thing your mother told you that's not correct. She told you to stay away from Irish Spring.
Probably because she wanted to buy like the generic of Irish Spring.
I'm not kidding. I think it was my mother. My mother buys Irish Spring at Costco and uses it for birds. I don't know what she does with it.
Save it for herself.
She puts it on trees to keep the squirrels off.
I mean, I feel like they would have gone out of business years ago.
Yeah, I would think that's.
But I know. I think it was my mother who said, do not buy the Irish Spring. Yep. It's not good for you. We use it to keep squirrels out of the trees or something.
So Dill's Food City in Georgia, clearing all of its shelves of Irish Spring. They're playing Notre Dame.
Yes.
Sorry, Dill's customers. There will be no Irish Spring at our stores this week. Go Dogs. And they've taken pictures of the store shelves empty of Irish Spring and showing workers throwing them in.
Kind of like the fact that you just went right to my mother.
Well, no, anytime you have one of those ridiculous, like,
I do declare.
Just because I told you so moments, I feel like that's your parents talking to you.
Well, here always. It is. How to use Irish Spring soap to repel garden pests.
Right, that doesn't say anything about being bad for you. Just, it's got another use is what it is. But I love this. I mean, you don't think of Notre Dame-Georgia necessarily as a rivalry, but it is this week.
It is.
And you go ahead and take advantage of it. That's cool.
I like that kind of stuff, right? Like, that's fun. Like when the Broncos come to town, we should remove all horses from Kansas City.
Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, we have what about war paint?
Well, he can stay. Or maybe we should drop off oats at the hotel where Elway is staying and say, here, free complimentary oats for John.
Something like that would be great.
Yeah, great. Let's do that.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. There's only one show on this station.
Oh, yeah?
That's unbeaten.
Right? I thought we were getting fired or something.
There's only one show on this station that's got everybody surviving.
Yep.
Find out who next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.